1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
If you ever want to make your kids angry, which is always fun, sit there with them during the MTV Video Music Awards, and every time one of their favorite bands comes on, like they say, oh, there's Eminem. You go, he sucks. What are you talking about? He sucks. He sucks. You don't even know what you're talking about. Hey, look, there's J-Lo, man. She stinks. So that's what I did all last night. I just sat kind of like peanut gallery. Hey, oh, this is Linkin Park. This is so bad. Phil, you got to listen to this. Linkin Park. These guys are rank. They're funky. Just do it to make them mad. It's just, it's fun. And then every girl you see go, yeah, that's Britney Spears. No, it's not. It's J-Lo. Okay, that's Britney Spears. No, man, it's Alicia Keys. No, that's Britney Spears. Just everybody's Britney Spears. What are you talking about? I was driving Nick and Alex crazy last night with this. I don't know. It's fun to do. They stink. Don't ever try to be hip to what your kids are into, okay? Just don't do it. If you are, you are. If you're not, you're not. But don't go, oh, wow. Oh, this has got a good beat, doesn't it, Harry? Harry, listen, this is, what's this called? It's Linkin Park, Mom. Oh, gosh. It's so now, you know. And your dad's there, he's asleep on the couch. Every now and again, he's opening his eye up to, you know, the Spice Channel. Dude's just, I say, Alice. This is so now, it's so with it. Just don't do that. Be honest. Always be honest with your kids. Gay, White Stripes! This is so tight. Hey, they suck. White Stripes sucks. Only Chris agrees with me on that one, huh? And I like Pink just because I think she's cute. I don't know. You know, her music's fine. Oh, Pink. Pink's out of sight. She stinks. What are you talking about? She sucks. No, Pink's the best. Pink's the best one. It's the best one. Are you crazy? She should win the hip-hop single of the year award over Eminem. You got to be crazy, dude. You just drive them crazy. Drive them nuts with all kinds of goofy opinions about stuff that you don't know anything about. It's fun. Hey, how do I get my my phone screening thing back up on the screen here? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. And I missed the big moment last night during the MTV Video Music Awards, which was the appearance of Axl Rose and what is left of Guns N' Roses. Actually, there's nothing left of Guns N' Roses except Axl Rose. And I made the point because when Guns N' Roses was really making the scene, it was like the late 80s. And I was at that time, I was in my early 30s. And I said, well, you know, these guys remind me of, they remind me of an 80s version of Lynyrd Skynyrd. Not because the music's the same. I'm not talking about the music. Just that they represent the exact same thing that Skynyrd represented, which was the guitar army, voice of the lower middle class, young white male band. And that's exactly what Skynyrd was. Now, mercifully, in the case of Lynyrd Skynyrd, a couple of them went out, a rock and roll hero's death in a plane crash, which tends to give you some immortality. In the case of Guns N' Roses, there's Axl going in and getting Botox in his ass. Welcome to the jungle. Now, we've got a clip here, and we do want to save this for later in the program, but I wanted you to hear this. Now, this is not a clip from last night's show, but I'm told by my very dear friend Chris Pelton, who's also our associate producer, that last night they sounded, this is worse than the way they sounded last night, Guns N' Roses. About the same the way they sounded last night. This is from a concert in 1999. This then is what has become of Axl Rose. God! Anytime a popular singer, anytime anybody's voice deteriorates, and it happens to all of us, we get older. Now, at his age, his voice should still be very strong. At his age, his voice should be strong. His hearing's probably going, but anytime a great singer's voice deteriorates to the point where it sounds like he's trying to push one out. It's about 7 o'clock, and he's just had some shredded wheat, and he's just, yeah! You know, I mean, come on, man. Come on, man! Have another oatmeal cookie. Yoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. If you push it out, yeah. This is wild. Now, here's another tune from the great Axl Rose. Charles Dickens once wrote that he didn't understand the peculiar American instinct to build an idol up simply to tear it down. He didn't understand it because he's not an American. We do it because it's fun. Now, I could play that, and then Craig Taylor, can you just do that better, Craig? Go ahead, sing it, man. Sing it better, man. Ow! Ouch! Yeah, it's just, it's... And that was Beavis Rose with...
It'll be out in a minute, Mr. Morgatree.
Oh, well, thank you. All right, what sounds better? Yeah, you know, it's really cruel of me to do this, but hey, that cat made all the jack. He don't need the job, man. Why don't you just give me a break and let me do what I do, which is comment on the popular scene.
Do you know the way to San Jose? I've been away so long. When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go to Ted's of Beverly Hills.
But I can't find my way back, my way anymore.
I'm sorry, we highly inappropriate. Axl Rose had a party after the show, and he refused to invite the media because he didn't want them to report on all the plastic surgery that he'd had done. Here's the thing that I wanted to say. Rock and roll is supposed to represent continual revolution. That's what rock and roll was supposed to have represented. Continual change. Continual, like no other music, rock and roll was supposedly the music that wasn't rock and roll unless it was constantly challenging itself and changing. That's what always made it vital to every generation, right? And yet, through all that so-called self-aggrandizing, revolutionary, visionary, artistic stuff, there's one thing that rock and roll has never been able to come to terms with. Never. It has never been able to look itself in the mirror and say, why can't I go bald? Why can't I go bald? Axl Rose last night had extensions, he had corn rolls, he was doing everything that he could desperately to cover the glowing dome, the plutonium glowing dome that he's developed. Now, if you don't believe me, all you got to do is take a look at any current picture of David Lee Roth with that comb over. Wow! Man! It's bad enough that the guy's got a gut on him, like, and he looks like freaking the plumber down the street. This guy's got a comb over, like wallpaper. Why can't you go bald and play rock and roll? REO Speedwagon, which is one of the worst bands in the history of music, nonetheless, they were popular, and they fired a guy because he had like, do you remember the first REO Speedwagon album where they had a bass player who had a receding hairline, and like the next album he was gone? He did. He had like a kind of a receding thing. It was like a Jack Nicholson widow's peak, and the next thing you know, gone. Next album, the guy's out of there. I mean, it's freaking, Axl looked like he was wearing some cheap Axl mask from a Halloween section at Thrifty's. In other words, can I have the Axl Rose mask? Oh, my God, it is you. Botox. Now, what is that supposed to do? Inflate your face? It kills the nerves. What Botox does is it kills the nerves so you don't wrinkle as much. The problem is we have a very dear friend, and my pal Chris is with us today. And, Chris, you know the lady I'm talking about. She had Botox injected up into her forehead so that she would not have lines in her forehead. And what it did is it caused the muscles surrounding the eyes to droop. And suddenly she looked like that cat that hit that toxic waste dump in RoboCop 2. The face just, help me. You know, one half of her face is like peeling off, just sort of melting. So she couldn't smile anymore. Well, you look sexy and cute. There are no wrinkles, but what are you, the Joker in reverse? Just, hey. I got to take a break here. A number 1-800-449-8686. If anybody saw the show last night, I realize that a lot of you go to bed early. I know a lot of you need to have your warm milk and crawl into the sack before 8 because a lot of you have been doing the Jack Daniels all day. I get it. But if you saw Axel and you want to take the cheap shot, 1-800-449-8686. And by the way, Margaret Gray is going to be joining Guns N' Roses. She's great. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Oh, man. 1-800-449-8686. And Eminem, he's such a genius. Eminem is such a genius. He's a genius. Didn't you hear? He's a genius. He's all like commenting on society and like that there. He's not a homophobe. He's commenting on being a homophobe if he were one, which he's not, even though he said Moby looked like a little girl. You know what I mean? He looked very fit. He looked angry. Because I'd be pissed off, too, if I was wealthy all of a sudden. I mean, I think you need to grow into wealth. And to just throw money at somebody, that is an insult. What an insult to take a young guy out of the Detroit sewer and give him lots and lots of money. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You ought to be taken out and shot. And no wonder the poor kid is angry. He's angry because of the hypocrisy of the world. His mother didn't treat him right, and his father didn't treat him right either. Your father didn't treat you right either, and your mother didn't either? Well, who cares about you? I'm talking about Eminem. He are a genius. I've heard many people tell me that he are a genius, and I am think I believe that there. He comments on things like how phony the world is and stuff like that. He's angry. Sure, he's angry. Did you see the picture of him in Rolling Stone? He was pissed off on the cover. He was pissed off on the inside, when the article started. He's pissed off on page number 2. He was pissed off on page number 3. And, oh, yeah, if I didn't mention it, he was just all pissed off. And why wouldn't a guy like that be angry when all of a sudden they say, hey, we like your music. Can we give you money? How dare they? And then, of course, he had his George Peppard haircut. And, you know, and then he got off them cuties like, hey, that Moby, that little girl Moby with the glasses. This is a guy who's a comic genius from way back. Eminem. Eminem. Eminem and Enema. How'd you like an Eminem and Enema? Eminem and Enema. Why didn't he call himself Skittles? Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing, Phil?
I'm fantastic.
I just have to stick my 2 cents in there about Axl.
You want to stick your what in?
MTV Awards show.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I was a huge Guns N' Roses fan back in the day.
Yeah.
And I was just embarrassed for him last night. I couldn't figure out which one he was, Millie or Vanilli, with the hair and the, I don't know what he was trying to prove.
And he had the do-rag, which sort of didn't go with the hair, and the do-rag and the hair didn't go with the shades, and the shades didn't.
I think he should change the name of his band, because it's not Guns N' Roses anymore.
No, it is.
Like, you know, on the Roses.
If you're still there, Jennifer, are you there? He looked like an aging porn star. Here's the thing I think what's wrong with these guys that get older is they make us feel older.
Yeah.
You see, it wasn't so much that Axl Rose is older, as that when you looked at him, you went, oh, my God, it's been that many years since I was a kid, you know? And
exactly, I wonder, my thought.
Yeah, I wonder if I look that way, you know? It's like I went out and saw Jethro Tull, which was a big band when I was in high school, and...
Yeah.
Oh, my God, they were old, man. I said they sucked. I told my wife, I apologized to my wife for taking her to it. And then I realized that it made me feel old. I mean, I felt like I probably looked like that, you know. No hair and everything. Jennifer, thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686. No hair and everything. It's a good thing I didn't go into music because I ain't got no hair and I sure ain't going to put on extensions now. I'm not doing the braid thing now. Why can't you just go bald and just have them leave you alone? Hi, I'm Axl Rose. I bick it, and what do you want from me? The other thing, who are the guys that shave their head? Well, the kid from Smashing Pumpkins. Who the guy you just... Billy Corrigan? Billy Corrigan shaves his head just right down clean. The other guy that cue balls it pretty good is Moby. And then, of course, Michael Stipe does that sort of... Michael Stipe, forgive me, but he looks like he may have hepatitis C or something. Is he purposefully doing that? This is the hip thing now. You look like you have bubonic plague. Here is Lynn on the Phil Hendry Show. Lynn?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I gotta tell you, you're so smart. You're so right on so much of what you're saying. And Eminem is like such a jerk, and wasn't the audience like really booing him?
They did. They booed him finally. They said, you know what, you're not that funny, man, especially when you're threatening somebody with violence. You know, get a little more creative than that.
Yeah, oh, I know. But what you were saying about just him coming out of Detroit and not having anything, and now look what he's got, and why should he be angry?
Yeah.
It's the society that he's criticizing that's giving him the bread and butter that he's got in his pocket.
Well, I don't mind him being angry. I mean, if he wants to be angry, be angry. But he's not any more angry. He's got no more, you know, right to anger than the rest of us. I mean, I look at his life, and frankly, it's better than the one I grew up with. And I think he's amusing, not because I think he's such a comic genius that everybody's trying to tell me he is. I think he's amusing because he tries to put that hard-ass look on with all that bread. And if he doesn't dig Moby and he thinks the whole thing's a sham, what's he doing accepting some MTV Jive Video Music Award for?
Right. And he's very obvious. I mean, you can read him. He's very, very obvious. I also want to tell you one other thing. Your birthday is the same day as mine, and we are both the same age.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
And I am
this is Marcy Herzog from Arcadia, California, is it? Because I knew a girl named Marcy growing up, same birthday.
No, I wish I did know you, though. No, now we're talking Sunday, right?
And no, it's Sunday, yeah, but I'm having my party tomorrow night, yeah, yeah,
and
Sunday.
I wish I could come.
Well, it's
I'm
just for a few,
a party.
It's for a few intimate friends, but we will take pictures and throw them up on our website, so please look for that.
You're great.
Thanks,
Lynn. I've turned so many people on to you.
Well, you're very nice. Hey, listen, here's a thought. Here's a thought, a closing thought, okay? If Eminem were really cool, he would have sent a Native American up there to get the award.
There you go.
You know, just like, hello, I'm Running Bear. Eminem cannot be here because he thinks you're all fascist swine and concentration camp commandants. And so on behalf of all the Native Americans, you know, something like that would be very off, you know, kind of neat. Thanks, Lynn. 1-800-449-8686. We continue to dissect the career that was Axl Rose's. Yikes. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Supposedly, Axl Rose tried to beat Kurt Cobain up while he was holding his kid, and these are all alleged things, though, isn't it? Isn't it alleged he chose off Vince Neil and a number of things, and they may not be true, too, because people, when they don't like you, I guess they'll create things. But here is something that I think may be true, and this is it. If you go through life with that huge ego, and you have people around you that are afraid to tell you the truth because you know what's best, just like that night at the Coliseum you were talking about, Chris, when they were playing for the Stones, and he says, well, there's some members of this band that don't believe in performing sober. And in other words, he brought the band's whole internal conflict to the front, and the people didn't dig it. They started pelting the stage with crap. When you think that you got all the answers, pretty soon people become so afraid of you that they won't give you the truth. And so somebody is responsible for allowing him to go out onto that stage last night with a do-rag, shades, Botox pumped into his face so he looked like the Mr. Potato Head, and he's got on a shirt, one of those, you know, late 70s, early 80s football shirts that nobody wears anymore. And then he sounds like... Here's the good part. Oh, come on. Who let him go out on that stage last night? Who's responsible for opening the cage door? Who took the leash off of him? If I were here, why did you do it? Well, you wanted to do it. You let me go out there and do that? I think it's bad. Here's Brianna. Is it Brianna? Yes, Brianna. Hi.
Yeah.
You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. Phil, first I wanted to tell you that your show was great.
Thank you.
I listened to it for a long time. It's great. Here in Wichita, it's like there's a huge Guns N' Roses following, and I don't know where under what rock these people crawled out underneath.
Well,
but it's so bad. I don't see how people can. I mean, they want to look like him. They want to act like him.
For how long? Are you talking about now? They do, or
yeah? Like, oh yeah, yeah.
They don't want to look like him now. They're all going to have to go out and get plastic surgery. They're going to have to lose their hair. They're going to have to lose their hair and get collagen.
It's so bad. It's so tacky, and he's a total. He's just a total prima donna. Him, and he's got like this total Jim Morrison thing going on where he's just like better than everybody else, and it's just sick. It's
pathetic. he does have the rock and roll sex god thing going on, which in Jim Morrison's case, you know, he may have been justified, but Axl Rose's teeth were bad. I don't understand. Everybody in Wichita dresses like Jeff Dowder. You know, they're all just kind of like
10 years behind.
Yeah, the Pendleton shirt. Are you guys really? No, you're not. Did you ever see Almost Famous?
Yes.
It's cool because there's a scene in Wichita where the band, you know, Sweetwater, which I think was Sweetwater in that movie was a amalgam of Allman Brothers, Skynyrd, and Led Zeppelin.
Right.
Visit Wichita, and one of the guys goes to some kid's house, and now he's surrounded by all these teenagers, these mid-70s teenagers, who are fascinated with this lead singer and guitar player for this big band, and one of the kids looks at him and goes, "You want to see my snake eat a rat?" Listen to this part. God. What, somebody came up behind with a cattle prod or had one of them pokers or something from a fireplace, all heated up, tongs that you use to turn horseshoes? Yeah, it's a great world, rock and roll, but it can be heartless. Heartless and cruel. One day you're on top, and the next day, the Mongrel Buck Indian Casino presents Jethro Tull. One day you're playing arenas, 17, 18, 20,000 seat arenas. A road crew in the hundreds. Rolling Stone, Cream, Spin, all the big magazines pounding on the door, groupies. And the next thing you know,
our puppet show will begin in just a moment, followed by Guns N' Roses here at the Canyon Club in Agoura, California.
So that's really great. One minute it's the Hollywood Bowl, and the next minute it's
Ma and Pa's Chicken Ranch presents the Doobie Brothers. That's right, the originals, minus five or six guys. Tom Johnston and what could be the Doobie Brothers.
I own the rights to Doobie Brothers. Oh, you do? Yes, I do. So I tour with 17 guys, and we're all called the Doobie Brothers. Where are the real Doobie Brothers? They're in a group called the New Doobie Brothers. And then they have the international rights to the New Doobie Brothers. I'm the Doobie, but I'm the Doobie Brothers, okay? Well, all right. Now, the other guys are in the neutral Doobie Brothers. There's the West Coast Doobie Brothers. We have the Blue Network Doobie Brothers. Now, get out of my face. You're making me sick. I'm sad.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for visiting Del Mar, and as the horses round the turn, be sure to enjoy in the infield the stylings of Toto. And bring the kids. Of course, that's not all. We'll have hot dogs and a clown. Welcome aboard, everybody. Disney's Wonder will be going to the Bahamas. And remember, Wednesday night, it's,
you know, who? Give me a band.
Led Zeppelin.
You know, I went to the Minnesota State Fair. The Minnesota State Fair, because we were brought, the station I worked at was broadcasting from there. And I look at the bill. You know who was at the Minnesota State Fair? Who was the headlining act? Def Leppard and Santana at the Minnesota State Fair. And I don't know, is that bad or good? I mean, state fairs are actually, if you're a country act, state fair. This was like 93. 93. Oh, that is bad. Well, because Def Leppard was still very much a viable band in 93, weren't they? Yeah. And they're playing. So maybe state fairs, maybe I shouldn't mention that, because that's actually, state fairs can be a very lucrative gig for a lot of these bands. And if you're a country act, they play. Listen to me try to make state fairs sound cool. I want to hear that other, the part where it sounds like he's dropping one, right here. The sounds where it's, the part where it sounds like he's just baked a loaf. God! Ooh! God! It sounds like, roll over, Mr. Rose. That's a good boy. Now let us just get the tube up there. You know, it sounds the way. Now you just heard what Axl Rose is going to sound like in about 40 years while they roll him over on his side and they put the tube up there. Come on, it's a little impacted up there. Jesus. All right, this is really juvenile. Anyway, 1-800-449.
And folks, while you're waiting at the Tilt-A-Whirl, it's the three of the original four members of Asia performing on our center stage.
Yeah, well, hey, you know what? There but for the grace of God, man. Because, you know, we got our own version of that in this business. It's called, hi, everybody, I'm Phil Hendry on the Tri-Valley Lettuce Belt's number one talk station, KASS. And I'll be right back. But first, here's Leopoldville weather. Mostly cloudy, that's what we call, you know, that's what we call, I think it's called karma. All right, anyway, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, in a minute, I got a really cool thing, because we're just, you know, when you're in radio, all you do is fool with noise and sounds and stuff. So I've got something that we fooled around with, and we think you'll enjoy it. Here is Dan on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello? Dan.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Oh, how's it going?
Good, man.
I was hoping to comment on, you were talking about Axl Rose.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you caught, it's been on a million times on VH1, the Behind the Music for Metallica.
Yeah.
I guess when they went on tour in Toronto, and the part of the stage act was like flames coming up, and the lead singer, Metallica, caught his hair caught fire, his whole head caught fire.
Yeah.
And they were touring with Guns N' Roses, and so he had to go to the hospital. It was a big deal. And so Metallica asked Guns N' Roses to, you know, take over and play an extra long set, and they didn't. They just left, and there was like riots in Toronto. It was a huge deal. So that just goes to show how cool Axl Rose is.
Yeah, that's the old show business axiom: the show must go on.
Yep.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
As opposed, you know, I mean, and so now, you know, the guy is, because of that, because nobody could tell him anything, now he knows everything, and now he probably desperately would like some input, and nobody's telling him the truth, which is, you sound like this. Wait a second, what happened to it? Where's my, here it is. Hey, my remote doesn't work. No, that's not, here it is. There. I'd like that, Dan. All of that lousy radio, all that bad timing, just so you could hear. He said this Toronto show that you're talking about, Dan, he said his voice was hurting.
Yeah.
But then he was seen after the show pounding Jack Daniels and Camel Straights.
Yeah, I'm sure he was.
So, yeah, his voice really hurt. It hurts now.
I actually missed the, I was switching back and forth.
All right, actually, we've got to put the tube up there, but now you'll be able to crap easier. I'm sorry. I know it hurt. Hey, Dan, listen to this. Listen to this. What do you think?
Nice. Okay. Nice.
All right, brother. Nice. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
See you later, man. Yes, welcome to the Video Music Awards. Here's Bob on the Phil Hendry Show. Bob?
Hey, Phil.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Fine. Thank you.
I've been listening to your show for about 2 weeks now, so I'm quite new to your show. I must say I really enjoyed the format that you use and the truth that you put into your words. I wanted to give you a couple comments I had on the MTV Music Awards that you were talking about. First of all, about Eminem, just a thought like that. It's not because this guy makes a filthy amount of money. That, you
say
know,
that again. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, it's not because him or anybody else makes a certain amount of money that they have to stop bitching about their life or about what they think is wrong with society. I believe. Now,
it's what? It's not that they make a certain amount of money that I have to start bitching about their.
No,
life?
Not you. Them. What I mean is, I had the understanding that because this guy was making a lot of money, you understood that he was in no right to actually complain or criticize.
No. Yeah, well, first of all, I'm talking about two different guys. I will never say, I'm talking about Axl Rose and Eminem. I'll never say that a man doesn't have the right to say what he wants to say. I have the right, though, to think it amusing, that a guy looks pissed off and sort of angry and you know, and upset with the hypocrisy of the world while he walks up on stage to pick up the VH, you know, the MTV Video Music Award while he still have the time to complain about one of the artists in the front row and go out and cash enormous checks. I think he's funny. I think his life is amusing. I think his silly posing is amusing, but I don't think he doesn't have the right to be who he is, but I certainly have the right to comment on him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Maybe, do you think maybe he should do like Woody Allen, and just like Woody Allen boycotts the Academy Awards for movies, he should boycott the all the awards that are given to
him? No, I think what we said originally, I think you got to send up a Native American to pick up the award for him. Something like that. Anyway, thanks for calling, Bob. Yeah, you know, it's easy. Well, that's my job. It's essentially my job. It's to look around me, the world, the society, and to comment on it, and that's not even my job. My real job is to do it in such a way so as it resonates with you guys, so that you and I have a common thing, that we have a common experience. And Eminem, he can do whatever he wants to do. He's fine, but I never bought into the fact that he was some kind of a real social satirist. I've been doing this too long. I've heard tons of people say, oh, well, that's just satire. And they say that because they don't know what it is they're doing. They miscalculated. They hurt somebody's feelings, or they went over the top, or they said something offensive. And so when they did miscalculate, somebody says, why did you do that? Oh, I was just being satirical. Well, I was just kidding around. Well, and if in point of fact they hit the target with what they were saying, that's it. Well, I really hit the target there. I'm not a satirist. I'm a news commentator. I've heard so many people hide behind that word. Well, look, are you doing laughs or aren't you? And Eminem, hey, forget it, man. Don't tell me that guy isn't a homophobe. Don't tell me that he's just commenting on the homophobia of society. And in point of fact, he's just sort of playing a character. That guy genuinely hates fags. He genuinely hates them. He genuinely hates homosexuals. He doesn't like Moby because he's a homosexual. Because he represents a certain thing, certain existence, a certain orientation and lifestyle. That's why I didn't like him. He's not making any comment. And even if he is making a comment, the people that listen to him aren't smart enough to get that. They think it's for real, man. Well, the fact is, it is for real. It's as real as that. And that's pretty real if you think about it. Oh, by the way, Fabio is a fan of this show. If you don't believe me, here he is on the April Winchell show recently on her weekend show locally here in Los Angeles, commenting on our radio show, The Phil Hendry Show. Here's Fabio.
And what's the other guy, Phil
Hendry?
Hang on. It's him. You know, it's like, it's so funny. People call in and it's like, you know, it's like, hello. It's all the same guy, you moron. And people call in and it's like, you know, and there's so many people don't get it. You know, you can tell. I mean, when he does the woman, it's not a woman voice. You know, it's so obvious. Yeah, it's transsexual. It was fucking like that. You know?
Yeah.
If you're just a little smart, you can get this the same guy.
Thank you. This, then, is Fabio. I'm sorry, I'm going to beat the hell out of that. I'm beating the hell out of this all day. And the dude talking to Fabio was Mike Schaefer?
Yeah.
Schaefer never had the guts to say to him, I used to produce that show, too. And then Fabio looked at him and went, really? All right. 1-800-449-8686. If you want to go to Vegas with us, the time's a-wasting, baby, because the packages are getting booked, and that moment is going to be approaching very rapidly. Our Vegas trip, the Phil Hendry Show live at the Luxor in Las Vegas party is September the 27th to the 29th. The weekend is going to kick off with our happy hour and our live broadcast on Saturday night from the Raw nightclubs. Excuse me, on Friday night. On Saturday night, then we'll have our Blues and Brews party. You can hang out with me and be entertained by a live blues band. You get tickets to the Oasis Spa, the King Tut Museum, and the Raw nightclub after our party. You'll get tickets into the Raw nightclub after the party concludes. The number, 1-800-288-1000, 1-800-288-1000. Ask for the Phil Hendry package.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Larry Grover with us, who has written a pamphlet called A Dating Tips for Divorced Men and How Men Have the Power and They Should Be Picky About Women.
Phil, we agree. We couldn't agree more with that, and I'll give an example. I believe that men do have the power and that we should be more selective about the women we go out with, not the other way around, women thinking they have the power. I took a lady out last Friday night who ordered corn on the cob. Now, let me explain. We had a dinner of wine. We had a wine before dinner. I had ordered a bruschetta appetizer. We had calamari. And then I heard her say to the waiter for her entree, she wanted a couple of cobs of corn. Now, this is on a first date with a man, mistake number one. It's not sexy. It's nothing that sounds the least bit feminine. The thing that's important to understand that when a woman is eating corn, she's not impressing you, and she wasn't certainly impressing me. And then she gets the corn, and she eats it and smiles at me while she's eating it. And you can well imagine I saw chewed corn stuck between her teeth and the moisture of the melted butter down one cheek and over the upper lip. I don't think I've ever been more insulted and sickened in my life, so this is an example of a woman who's out of my life.
All right. She ordered the wrong food, or?
No, she was not mindful of me. And I believe that as men, we've got to remember, we have the power. We should be selective of women. She had the audacity, the gall, to order corn on the cob, our very first date. She smiles, and you know the kind of smile. She enjoys being with me, but I'm looking at yellow chewed corn wedged between every crack. This is not what a woman does to impress a man. And you can just imagine what's going to, what the, and I don't want to be juvenile, but you can imagine what the bathroom is going to look like in a few hours. I couldn't deal with that, and that she is out of my life.
Let me ask you about yourself, Larry. I know you wrote this pamphlet. Where do you live?
I live in Culver City, California right now.
Are you married?
No, I'm divorced.
Are you living with anybody?
I'm helping my mother out right now.
Well, what is your job?
Well, my job, I'm a night manager at Olson Printing in Culver City.
Do you own a car?
Not at this time, though, but I am looking at a couple of cars.
All right, do you own property?
Well, Phyllis, you know, asking me 20 questions. This really isn't about me. This is about women and what I look for in them.
All right. I know, but I just wanted to see where you're coming from. I mean, so you don't own a car, you don't own a house.
I'm helping my mother out right now, and I can tell you something. Women find that particularly attractive when a man is helping his mother. Everyone knows that a man's mother is his best friend, and I think that that speaks for itself.
All right, Larry Grover's on with us. You're recently divorced. You're getting back into dating. You wrote a pamphlet about that for men to say that we have the power, we are sexy, we should be selective about women.
That is correct.
All right, can you tell us what has been successful for you and what hasn't since you've been divorced and dating?
Well, in a lot of ways, I'm fortunate, Phil. I love my family. To give you a background, my wife made a decision to go another direction. And the direction, by the way, she went in was on top of my best friend.
All right, I don't want to get into the painful aspects.
No, but I think it's important to understand what happened. But it opened me up to opportunities, the opportunities of dating. The great thing about today in America is I think you can afford to be selective in the women that you eventually let into your life. Selfishness is not anything that I value.
All right, now you told us that your mother is inviting over a lady that she met from your work and that you might enjoy this weekend, right?
All right, well, I do know her. Her name is Terry. But here again, we got another problem. This last lady, Denise, with the corn shoved up between the cracks of her teeth, now we've got Terry. And the problem with her is she rides horses, which is not a bad pursuit for women. But she's always got the jeans, the cowboy boots on, and she drives one of these F-250s. Now, if you put all of that together, horses, jeans, cowboy boots, and truck, what this does is it sends an emasculating message to the man. Just because she rides horses and drives a truck doesn't mean she's got to lord it over me. Okay, I get it. She emasculates me with this message, and that would be emasculating to any man. Terry came out to the house last week, as a matter of fact, and one of the most emasculating moves that any woman has done to me, she changed out the propane tanks on Mother's barbecue, and then my mother tells her, and I told her not to say anything, that I'm afraid of her knowing this. My mother told her that I was afraid to change the propane, which I am, and is sensible and given the flammable contents. Well, at that moment, you might as well have performed liquid castration on me, and this is what I'm talking about.
All right. So this Terry emasculated you because she owns an F-250.
Well, you don't have to lord it over a man. So she's out of my life. And the fact that she changed out propane, and my mother, who emasculated me as well by saying that I'm afraid of propane, so two women emasculated me. So in the course of a week, I've had three women perform the equivalent of liquid castration on me, one of them eating corn and then giving me the big grin with hi, and it's shoved up into the teeth, the other one telling a girlfriend that I'm afraid of propane, and then the third one driving a truck and riding horses, all three of them basically turning me into a Forbidden City eunuch. And I am trying to let other men not make these mistakes.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show. Maybe you, as women, agree that men should realize that they have the power and that women should, you know, impress them. Is that your message?
That is my message. For years, as men, we've been, trying to impress women. It should be the other way around. Women should be impressing us.
Well, when I look at your life, and I'm not criticizing your life, you live at home with your mother. You
well, that's nothing to be ashamed of.
All right, but you do live at home, right?
Yes, I do.
All right, you live at home with your mother. You don't have a car. You don't have your own home. You have a printing. How much do you make a year?
I don't think.
Well, just tell me how much you make a year.
I make $27,000 a year. And I'll tell you something, Phil. Women don't look at that. What women look at is the kind of man that you are. Let me tell you something about my life. I work at night as a manager in a print shop because I can spend days with my mother. My sexual habits are very pure. They're very clean. I would never, ever degrade a woman into asking her, for instance, to perform oral sex on me the way a certain president demanded that of a woman. In turn, I would never degrade a woman so much as to completely disrobe her during our intimate moments. I would be respectful enough to lay a towel down before we began. And after we finished, if there was any evidence of our intimacy, I would strip the bed and reapply a new plastic drop sheet immediately. Now this, I think, Phil, is what a woman wants. Good, clean, pure Christian sex done under the roof of a man's mother's home, a woman that could really go for that kind of lifestyle. And I will not give this fantasy over to just any woman, because there aren't many women who would measure up to it.
All right, his name is Larry Grover. He believes that what women want is a good, clean, pure Christian sex life. He lays down a towel before they begin, and he strips the bed immediately after and puts down a plastic drop sheet. Also, Larry doesn't like women who order corn on the cob.
Well, I think that's a little stupid. What I'm saying is, I think women should be mindful of the way they look when they eat. And when you suck corn on the cob up into your face, and then you smile the big Cheshire Cat grin, and you've got large cobs and kernels sticking out of your teeth.
I understand. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Linda. Linda, go ahead.
If you can't deal with a woman being who she is, and if you can't deal with a woman being able to express herself and doing the same things as a man does, then you're going to be sorry and alone for the rest of your life.
Well, but
and as far as you saying that living with your mom you think is sexy from other women, let me tell you, honey, I think that that is just childish. If you can't grow up enough to move out on your own and pay your own bills instead of relying on mommy, well, let me tell you what, honey, this is a new day.
All right, let me ask
you. I think it's stylish.
Okay. Let me ask you something, Larry.
Uh-huh.
This lady has just said that living with your mother is not sexy.
Well, I think she's got it wrong. I think that I don't know where Linda's from, and she's certainly entitled to her opinion, but many women that I talked to down through the months as I was compiling information for my book find it very erotic that a man cares for his mother. I will tell you, Linda, I found many women look for a man. The first thing they see is, how does he treat his mother? Because that's how he's going to treat me.
Well, I understand that. But if you're still living with your mom, what's going to be more important, your mom or your wife or your girlfriend? I'm not going to be chosen over his mom. Yeah, I understand. I can't come in between.
I think you have to take into consideration both equally. My mother has made up the spare bedroom beautifully for the woman who I eventually allow into my life. But let me ask you, Linda, wouldn't you trade off the fact that perhaps I have an unusual closeness to my mother? Wouldn't you trade that off for the fact that I can offer you a pure, clean, Christian sex life?
No.
That is pure and clean and has your respectful, I would not degrade you in any way.
No. You said your mother has made up the guest room beautifully for any woman that you choose to take into your life. Now, that means
As my wife.
Okay,
so you'd be living at your mother's house?
Yes, until I get on my feet, yeah.
Oh, see, that's not a responsible man. Not a responsible man.
What's not
responsible? I disagree with you.
Well, ma'am, I'm the night print manager at Olson Printing in Culver City.
Uh-huh.
And I am in line for another raise. And again, I have to tell you, the life that we would live together would be a pure, clean, Christian life. Based upon the cleanliness that we were given by Jesus.
Okay, the Christian talk here.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, are you Christian, Linda? I mean,
I would expect. Well, of course.
Yes, I am. Have you read the Bible? The Bible says a man should cut off all ties between his parents and move away with the woman. And you're telling me you're going to move the woman into the parents' house? That's not good, Christian. You're disobeying God right there.
What do I do? My mother is, first of all, my mother can't take care of herself any longer. She is incontinent. She has,
there's nursing homes. There's nursing homes and there's 24-hour care.
Yes, that is true, Linda. But let me ask you this. How beautiful is it for a family together when a man brings a woman into his life that she can share in cleaning his mother, giving her baths, and sharing in the care of the mother?
Wait, wait. You're asking a man.
That is disgusting. That is disgusting. You're going to give your mom a bath and she's...
No,
say that again.
No, ma'am. I'm not giving... I'm saying that my new wife would share in the care of my mother. I came home. The tragedy of old age, Linda, is that you can't take care of yourself. I had to buy my mother new shoes because she had become incontinent to the point where it had gone down her leg and filled the shoes up.
And I understand you wanting to take care of your mom and all. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
That is, but you've got to realize that that's why there's nursing homes. That's why there's 24-hour care.
Yeah. But it's so important.
Me as a woman does not find you taking care of your mom any kind of sexy.
You don't find that sexy, a man caring for his family to the bitter end. I would do the same for you and for any child that we had.
Okay, for your wife and for your child, that's one thing. But for you to say that you're a good Christian man, and I understand you want to take care of your mom, that's fine. But you want to move your wife into your parents' home when the Bible says that a man will cut ties with his family, not cut all ties, I mean, you'll still talk, but cut ties with his family and move away with his wife and shall grow in numbers and be fruitful.
That's true, but
okay,
you never
but you're
abandoned,
saying,
mother will never be abandoned so long as she can't keep herself clean, and my new wife, and hopefully Linda would be somebody like you. You're a Christian, will not be recoiled at the prospect of sponging my mother when it needs to be done, of any fecal matter.
Oh, come on.
Well, Mr. Henry, I don't expect you to understand, sir. You're not a Christian.
Well, wait a minute. Let's get religion out of this, if we could, for just
you
one
know,
moment.
I grew up with a grandmother who was very sick. My sister gave half of her life to take care of my grandmother in that same manner. And it just got to the point where
there is
we
nothing
realized
more beautiful than me and my new wife helping an Alzheimer's. My mother has Alzheimer's. We can boil her socks on the stove. And we can do the things that it takes to keep her.
So you're offering, as the new sexy world, your wife comes into a spare bedroom, and the first thing she does is boil your mother's socks because she crapped in them.
That's
disgusting. You know something, sir? I think you're very disrespectful, and you used a word which I would never use.
Well, I'm sorry, but I think the lady understands what I'm saying.
I say, Linda, again, as a Christian, I would offer a pure, septic, and clean sex life. That is, if you want to use an analogy, I would boil our sex life.
You know, one thing, life is one thing, but taking care of your mom in a way that a nursing facility should take care of her is different.
All right, Linda, thanks for your call. 1-800-449.
You terminated that call?
Yes, sir. We've been on long enough. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Larry Grover has written a pamphlet, Dating Tips for Divorced Men, how men have too long allowed themselves to be picked over by women. It's time that men be picky about women. In other words, for too long, women have been picky about men. It should be the other way around. He offers a woman a good, clean sex life. He doesn't want any woman emasculating him, and he doesn't like women who are disgusting when they eat their food. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
But you think you're a catch for...
I think I'm a catch for any Christian woman. Yes, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. With us is Larry Grover. He's written the book, Dating Tips for Divorced Men. Men have the power. They should be picky about women. Women shouldn't be picky about men. 1-800-449-8686. Camille, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, this is Camille.
Yes, Camille, go ahead.
Hey, I was wanting to talk to this guy with the mama and the pure sex habits. What is that about?
What it's about, Camille, is that, and can I ask a question?
Uh-huh.
Are you African-American?
Yes, I am, and proud of it, baby.
All right, well, that's fine. I don't personally believe that you and I would make the best couple, but And I don't know
go
what
ahead.
I...
Go ahead.
All right, so what is your question?
I wanted to know...
Do you believe in interracial? Do you believe in the interracial...
Yeah, I do. If people are in love and if they are compatible, I don't see anything wrong with the races.
What, you don't?
No, I don't.
I think that interracial... African-American women make me nervous because they have certain sexual demands that I think are aberrant.
Uh-huh.
Well, let's not go
my
there.
Question
You're,
for you
know,
is
yeah,
this.
Her question...
I want to ask you a question, Larry.
Yeah.
Have you ever had any mental health treatment?
If you're intimating that I need a psychiatrist, I think because I indicate that I enjoy pure, clean, fresh sex with a Christian, sort of a Christian twist, if you will, doesn't mean that I am a mentally diseased.
Well, I think that your obsession with cleanliness is concerning me.
My obsession,
cleanliness concerns me, and your obsession with... your activities with your wife and sex and your mama concerns me.
My mother is incontinent. I need a wife who can...
a wife who's going to come in and give her a sponge bath with
no,
you.
A woman who is
that
woman
concerns me,
no,
guys.
A wife who is woman enough to put on a pair of gloves and get right in and boil some underwear if she has to or whatever.
Well, let me ask you this. If you're such a man, how come you won't go on and move out to mama's house, get your own house, and move your mama
mother.
In?
I'm protecting mother.
Why don't you go ahead and get your own place and then move your mother in your place and maybe hire a 24-hour nursing care center and have her care for that way.
Right now I'm getting my funds together for just that.
You're getting your funds together. So you don't have enough money.
It's not about money, Phil. Women really deep down don't care so much about money as they do care for a man. And I guess Camille is going to think that I am obsessed, but I think they do want a man who is not going to demand things such as oral sex. A man who is not going to strip them like a slave for sex.
I think you have an obsession. I think you are too fixated on that kind of stuff. That's why I think
you need
some professional help.
What am I fixated on? I think all women...
You're fixated on the fact that you don't ask for oral sex. You're going to put a plastic paper down when you have sex. You're going to boil the sheath. What is that about, guy? You need some help, man. It's called medication. You need some help.
Camille,
I would suggest that you find a good therapist and work out your Oedipus complex.
Well, I think you're wrong, and I'd like to ask you,
out your Oedipus complex, guy.
What is wrong with asking a woman to put in a dental dam before she, in other words...
Well, hopefully, if you marry to her, you won't have to do that. You're talking about being with a Christian man. You're going to pick a woman who don't need to use a dental dam on.
Well, ma'am, I see nothing wrong with an old-fashioned Christian approach to sex where you use...
What does a dental dam have to do with Christianity?
Where you use...
What does boiling
timer?
Sheets have to do with Christianity?
Yeah, that's true.
What does cleaning up a hide have to do with Christianity?
Right. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Larry Grover. 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
I got two questions asked. Larry Grover wrote the pamphlet, Dating Tips for Divorced Men. The first question, if you're there, Larry?
I'm right here, Phil.
The first question is, what do you call Christian sex? And the second question... The second question is, what makes you such a catch when you say that men have the power and men should be picky about women instead of the other way around? What makes you such a great catch?
Well, let me answer the first one. Christian sex is a pure, clean, very pure and clean and fresh sex that is devoted. And by the way, there's nothing different about Christian sex than Muslim sex. The Muslim people practice the same kind of sex. What we do, essentially, is we keep the woman covered except for her face and except, obviously, for certain pertinent areas. But she is completely covered. And we are not in any way disrespectful. At the moment of intimacy, the woman's face is covered so that she will not look at the man, so there is no personal affront or offense taken if the man is being a little aggressive. While that is happening, the man's wife can be in the room or not, as the case may be, because we do share in the Christian community.
Wait a second. She wears a sheet...
With two holes cut in it. And one, and the other thing, and plus, sheets are changed regularly. Plastic drop sheets are used. Antiseptics are used. Solvents, gasoline solvents are used following certain acts. We do not demand any kind of oral. I would not put any woman through the disgrace and the utter abject, foul disgrace of doing that. So that's what Christian said. What was your other question?
My other question is, what makes you, Larry Grover, a catch?
Well, what makes me a catch is that I am a respectful man. Again, I only ask of a woman clean, scrubbed sex. I look good in a good pair of slacks and a dress shirt. I think I can provide well once I get back on my feet. The little things I think are important. For instance, I do little things like light a match after I use the toilet. I put the toilet seat down. I brush my tongue as well as floss my teeth. I look good, I think, most of the time. I can barbecue like a madman. I'm diligent about my back hair. At least twice a month I have back hair taken care of. I've only got four fillers. So I think I'm a man of breeding. I'm a man of class. I'm a man of culture. And, again, I'm a man of cleanliness. And I'm a man of using proper gasoline solvents. A man of pure Christian sex.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Jan, go ahead.
I just want to say, I think this is absolutely ridiculous that you would absolutely think that some woman would want to of your mother in the same household and have this kind of missionary type sex with you.
Well, Jan, are you a Christian?
Yes, I am.
Well, then how could you possibly ask me these questions? I'm simply respecting you as a woman by keeping a sheet dropped over parts of your body and only opening a hole in the area that would be pertinent.
Okay, well, that is not respect. Okay, why? I mean,
well,
if I don't desire that,
you don't want me to sweat on you.
Should be gratifying to both individuals. That's not gratifying to me, you're trying to tell me that you would cover me with a sheet?
Well, you want me to crawl onto you like an animal and grunt and sweat? Of course not. I wouldn't do that to you. That's not respectful.
So what if that's what I wanted you to do?
That is not Christian because it's not pure and it's not fresh.
Pure and fresh?
Yes.
You're trying to tell me that you not only would have someone take on the responsibility of cleaning your mother and bathing her, and
Because we're a family. And if I asked you, Jan, I have to go to my job, and my mother has become incontinent down her leg and onto the floor, I would hope that you would do as Jesus would do. You'd get on your knees with gloves and a sponge and clean it up. But I would repay you for that by having respect for you during the intimate act of sex. I wrap my entire body in plastic. I would not offend you by sweating on you.
Well, if you have so much respect for me, why wouldn't you pay for your mother to have home health care? This is like the year 2000. People actually have people come into their house to take care of people like this.
Well, of course, but the problem is that I'm just getting on my feet, so I can't afford a lot of that.
Well, if you look into Medicare and all that stuff, you know.
Well, that's fine, but the point is, why would we be arguing against taking care of a family member? There are some trade-offs. If you do that, then I'm respectful to you during sex with a sheet and plastic wrap.
But I don't want you to be respectful to me during sex.
Well, are you a Christian or are you not?
You keep going back to that question. What is Christian sex?
I told you. The man will not crawl on a woman and grunt and sweat like an animal. I asked you to tape your nipples down during dinner so that my mother is not offended. Do you think that Jesus would approve of me mounting you like a sow? No, he would not.
Christian sex is two people gratifying each other.
Wait, I got to back up.
What?
What do you mean tape her nipples down so your mother doesn't have to see him at dinner?
That is an affront and an offense.
Okay, that's what they make bras for.
Are you asking me a question? That's what they make bras for? That sounds like a question. I'm saying is, Mr. Hendry, is that any woman who wants me is going to get herself quite a catch.
Well, obviously that's why
also,
no one wants you, because you're obviously not married.
Well, one of the things that Christian sex demands is that you do it with an egg timer. And, again, I would...
What do you mean an egg timer?
You said an egg timer. You don't do that, Jan? All right,
I'm sorry?
See, you know, I don't. I'm having a hard time buying her. I don't think she. I think she's Christian at all.
All right, Jan, thank you very much. You don't use an egg timer during sex, though, do you?
No.
Bull crap. If you're a Christian, you do. If you're Muslim, you do.
I am Christian.
Well, if you're a Muslim, you do.
I'm not Christian.
Of course,
because
Muslims.
Because I don't have sex with it. You appreciate the fact that sex is
you have sex
your interpretation of sex?
Do you have sex with an egg timer, or don't you?
No.
Then you're not Christian.
I get my ass pains.
You get ass pains? What?
All right, thank you. What do you mean Muslims?
Well, the difference between Christians and Muslims is Muslims, it is legal to have sex with underage boys. But
wait a second!
I thought I'd just get that one in. You know, 9/11.
Yeah, that's great.
Remember, I floss and brush my tongue.
Okay, this cat's, he's out there, man. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Gloria. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, the man is a nut. He is talking Christian. He is not talking the same Christian that the Bible is talking, because if he was, he would know a lot better what was going on.
What about
Muslim? He's talking Christian. He's talking Muslim.
Yes, Muslim.
Not the same thing, baby, and it's certainly not the same Christian I am.
No, Muslim sex and Christian sex are similar, though, in that it is done with an egg timer.
You know what? You and your egg timer need to get a life. You are an insecure, over-the-top idiot who makes $27,000 a year, and you want a woman to go to bed with you wrapped in plastic wrap? Give me a break.
Ma'am, I'm getting on my feet, but again, I am a pure and clean and respectful
man. You know what? Who wants you? Nobody wants that pure and that clean. You and your gasoline solvents? Give me a break. Gasoline solvents? You know what? You're calling it Christian, and I don't know what kind of Christian religion you're talking about.
Well, I'm talking
but you're
about
not talking
basic...
about. No, 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 no. Wait a minute, baby. Wait a minute. You're not talking about belief in Jesus Christ, saved by the grace of His blood that was shed on the cross.
It's amazing.
And you know, you're so far out in left field that you have no idea what good sex is, and nobody's going to marry you. Because you're crazy.
May I say something now, Mr. Henry?
No.
Go ahead. No, I'm going to let him say something, Gloria. Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
I think Christians should have sex as if Jesus himself were holding the video camera.
And you know what? That's what my husband and I do about three times a week. And we're 50 years old. And we have...
As if Jesus were holding the
naked,
camera?
A naked, sweaty... good time as if Jesus were in the room, because the way I look at it and the way my Bible says it, anything that a married man and woman do together in the sanctity of their marriage bed is okay with Jesus.
If you look at Mark 3, verse 6 through 10, thou shalt not see the face of the attendant. What that means is, the woman's face
that
is covered with a sheet, that you're covered with a sheet, and
that
only
means
a hole.
The engaged woman, not the married woman, fruitcake.
Right. No. How do you know? Oh, all of a sudden you're also a preacher, too. Boy, you just got it all going on, don't
you? But you are?
Yes, I am.
And now he's a preacher. Oh, wonderful.
Okay. Luke 5, verse 2 and 3, thou shalt not be on thy hands and knees in the presence of Jesus. Now, that means, not a supplication, that means the rear entry of the...
Oh, come on! There's nothing in the Bible about that.
Give me a break!
Give you a break? You're the one who said she wouldn't mind grunting and sweating if Jesus was working the lights, holding the camera, and flying.
Not with my husband, honey, because in the Bible it says, in the marriage bed, anything goes.
We're out. Okay, thank you very much, Gloria.
You're gutless, Mr. Henry. You're hanging up on a pure, freshly clean... scrubbed up man like me. Gloria? Yeah, she's gone, huh?
Yeah, she's gone, yeah. So are you. With your gasoline solvents? Wow. 1-800-449-8686. The book is called Dating Tips for Divorced Men, available at... someplace. Eddie's book, something like that. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
By the way, I did the voice there of, who the hell was the character we just did? Larry Grover. I was doing that voice. That's what I do in a show. I do the voice. People call in, think it's a real guy. Just ask Fabio. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Now, from yesterday's show, Margaret was on, and she was talking about the fact that she had a little birthday party for her 14-year-old son, Jason J. Delmonico, and so they all sat around with little dollar bills, and she hired a little 14-year-old dancer, and they put the dollar bills in her leotard, and this was to show women how they could be empowered and how they could raise money for themselves. Also, Margaret... Margaret pretended she was a guy and had the girl give her a lap dance. It was all sick. It was all twisted. It was all on yesterday's show.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
How dare her, or this lady here, assume that she has the right...
Wait a second. I invited her to a birthday party, and she showed up.
My point
okay?
is...
Okay, and
how,
she danced
how dare
pretty
her
boys,
have to
and
assume.
She didn't take her clothes off.
How soon to teach my kids, any of my kids, or any kid, some rite of passage? I mean, that's not fair. I mean, that's taking my parental rights
well,
away.
Well, I'm listening to you right now, Sam, and it sounds like somebody needs to sort of do that for
you. Let me finish, okay?
Go ahead, Sam.
She has no right to do that unless she comes to me as a parent and say, hey, can we do this?
But if I come to you as a parent and I don't have a lot of confidence in you...
Then what the heck do you have even do it? What do you think? I'm a bad parent.
Well,
you can't teach my kids better.
May I answer?
Go ahead.
I may get one look at you and say, you know what? I think I better make the decision here.
Who died and left you, boss? Golly, woman.
Well, wait a second, Sam. I mean, with all due respect, are you sure you're capable of deciding whether you're a good parent or not?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
All right, what if I disagree with that?
That's fine. That's your prerogative. But don't try to push your rights on me and my kids.
But if I have the well-being of your children at heart and I take one good long look at you and I get some bad vibes, I may have to...
Okay, then what happens if I take a real long look at you and say, man, this lady needs to be in the mental ward. I'm going to go to the courts and take her kids away.
How are you going to do... You go to the courts and take my kids away.
Well, what's good for you is good for me.
The only lawyers they got the yellow pages.
How dare you tell America or anybody that, look, just because 20 parents plus a girl's parents, 21 parents, you guys aren't fit, so I'm going to teach your kids what needs to be taught. I mean, what you're saying is you're right and 21 parents are wrong.
Can I ask you a question? This may seem ridiculous to you, but one way I judge a good parent is off of the number of his teeth, and you may think that's funny, but if you can't afford to take care of your own teeth, do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, well, that's good, because my son's got had braces. He's got perfect teeth.
No.
My youngest son now is full of braces.
No, you.
And I've never had to have braces. I got great teeth.
You never could afford braces.
No, I got good teeth. I don't need braces. So, woman, you're crazy. And
no,
I'm simply... The thing about it is everybody who's calling is coming against you and telling you you're wrong, and yet you're not.
Well, you sound to me like you've got more relatives than teeth. And
all right, now you're dipping into the material, the joke material. Let's stick to the point.
Yeah, the point is I would.
Well, let me ask you: Are your good teeth in your mouth?
No, wait. I would ask this lady.
Yes.
I would ask Miss Margaret here to sit back and think. Well, maybe I'm wrong here. Yeah, and playing that song...
That song is a strip bar song.
Let me ask you a question.
How would you guys know?
How would we know?
Yeah, I'm really curious. How would you know that strip bar... Oh, see, so Sam has sat his tired country ass down in a couple of these joints, but he doesn't want his son to have the same right.
No, he doesn't. Neither
and
do I.
14 years old, and especially
and my daughter,
done by another parent. I'm teaching my son. You may tell you how I teach my son...
Do your kids
women?
Have a bedroom or a tent?
Okay.
The way I teach my son to respect women is I open the doors for my wife. I give my wife a big hug in front of my kids. I tell my wife I love her in front of my kids.
And this girl gave me a lap dance.
And to respect women, you know, and
yes.
to respect women, open the doors for them and say thank you and all that fun
and
stuff.
Stick a dollar bill in their leotard. What is wrong with that when it shows...
Because I'll tell you exactly what's wrong with that. Men who go to strip bars or in a simulated act like that, what you're doing is you are looking at the woman as a sexual object. If I go to it, like the earlier lady, if
come
I
on,
go
Sam,
to the
Sam, be
toilet,
honest with me. Haven't you written a phone number down from the from a toilet before? Haven't you seen a number on
no.
a toilet stall and written
what,
it down?
If
oh,
I go
come
to
on.
The Don's and I see a woman doing the
have you
the
been
Don's,
to the Don's?
You say it. That's awesome. That is really cool. And that's what you should have done. If you wanted to teach them something, have her do something that was neat.
Have you been to the ballet? Do you know ballet? Do you know the Don's?
Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
That was sweet. Why is that funny that the music just gets potted up there just briefly? So that was Margaret from yesterday talking about how that cat had, you know, no right to be a... It was a whole thing about a girl being a stripper. All right, 1-800-449-8686. But I dug that you got more teeth than relatives. You got more relatives than teeth? Anyway, I think it's funny. I think it shows as funny as anything out there, if you want my honest opinion. When are we getting our Billboard Personality of the Year Award? When do we get our Marconi? When do we get our Nobel Peace Prize? Huh? When do we get our Academy Award, our Oscar? When do I get my MTV Video Music Award? When can I stand up there and look surly? When? When? Oh, when? I'll tell you when I learn how to do this. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
And now, Phil Hendry.
Hi, Steve. Go ahead and tell me your story. Now, you were talking about the MTV Video Music Awards.
That is correct, sir. And Axl Rose come out, and he made me look like a fool the way he did. I think it's incomprehensible. I don't understand it. He couldn't sing. He looked fat and tired. He embarrassed me in front of my son. And they was a disgrace. And I feel like I should take legal action against him.
Against Axl Rose.
That is correct.
All right, this was last night of the MTV Video Music Awards. Unfortunately, I didn't see Guns N' Roses.
I was waiting so much for the MTV Music Video Awards last night because I had heard that Axl Rose was bringing Guns N' Roses back out, and that was a very important band for when I was growing up in the Knoxville, Tennessee area. I had my son invite all his friends over so they could see a real band and not this Eminem who I wouldn't give you two hoots for.
So Guns N' Roses was a band that you grew up with.
Yes, sir. I have Appetite for Destruction. I've got Use Your Illusion 1. I got Guns N' Roses Live, Use Your Illusion 2. I saw them at the Murfreesboro Bowl in 1987. I saw them at Fox Theater in Atlanta in 87 and 88. I saw them again at Swing Auditorium in Birmingham. And my friends Garth Wilson, Kerry Butcher, myself, we drove all night to go see them at the Kemper Arena in Kansas City, and that was one of the best road trips. But last night he had on fake hair on account, because I know they were extensions that he had on, because sometimes my wife uses them, like when we went to the Bahamas, she had one of those black women then do that for her, and also she put them in when we went to see the three tenors when they was at Dodger Stadium at one time. So I know for a fact that he had extensions. I called the Mark and Brian radio show this morning. I told him that he had extensions because I didn't know if anybody else knew that.
All right, we have a selection of Guns N' Roses from last night's show. You had your son and everybody watch because you thought it was going to be really exciting, and it turned out to be terrible.
It was absolutely embarrassing. He was bald, he was fat, his voice was bad. It was so bad, so bad. And I couldn't believe it.
All right, let me listen to this. That's what you're talking about, huh?
Yes, sir. And I had my son was there. My son's friends were there. My neighbor, Roy Hutchins, one of the guys I work with, Cliff Pettigrew, who's one of my crew chiefs, was there. My wife, April, had invited some of her friends. And as soon as I saw how messed up Guns N' Roses was going to be, and I assumed I should have known because Slash wasn't there, Duff wasn't there, it was a different band. And I was embarrassed. by that.
Well, tell me about the embarrassment, because you're pondering legal action against MTV and Axl Rose, and what exactly is the legal action?
And I want to say, too, I rented a big screen TV for the event. I went over to the Munch people, the big screen TV, because they had a one week special.
How embarrassing was this?
Well, I was standing there. I had put on a do-rag like what Axl had worn. And that guy, Jimmy Fallon, goes, here they are, Guns N' Roses. And then they come out, and they sound like 100 miles of bad road. And there I was. I'm looking completely like a complete fool. I had a do-rag, snakeskin pants. I had put on leather boots with the cut-off T-shirt and a Bic lighter like we did at Kemper Arena that night. And everyone kept saying how bad they were. And then my son turns to me.
If you want to take a moment.
Yes, please.
We're talking to Stephen Bozell, who said that Axl Rose and Guns N' Roses were so horrible last night and embarrassed him in front of his son, because he told his son that here's a real good band, not an Eminem. Stevie, there?
Yes, sir.
So your son turned to you and said what?
He said, Dad, these guys are pretty lame. Maybe when you were a kid, you weren't as cool as you thought you were.
So what did you do?
Well, I didn't know what to do for most of the night. I guess I was in and out of sleep. I cried myself to sleep. When I woke up in the morning, I did call my attorney, as Dolores Blazingame of Riverside, and I always remember the old saying that I always fall back on. In the midst of winter, I found within me an invincible summer.
Okay, well, you called Ms. Blazingame, and she's preparing a lawsuit against whom?
Well, we are primarily going to sue Mr. Axl Rose for intentional infliction of emotional distress. He made me look like a fool in front of my son on account of he's not the Axl Rose he used to be. He has been flat. He's gotten fattened up, so that's bad, and he should have known that he sucked. Also, Carson Daly, because he is generally around somewhere when something at MTV blows on high. Anytime something goes up in smoke at MTV, Carson Daly is somewhere around there making it happen.
Let me have our phone number out here right now. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Axl Rose and Guns N' Roses were on the MTV Video Music Awards last night. This man, Stephen Bozell of Corona, California. What do you do for a living, sir?
Phil, I own my own construction contracting firm.
All right. And this gentleman, Mr. Bozell, is suing MTV and Axl Rose, and you're naming also Carson Daly, because the performance was so terrible, it made you look stupid in front of your son.
Made me look stupid in front of my son, in front of my wife, and other people.
Because you had said to your son, this is a real band, not Eminem.
Well, that's true, too, and my wife April had invited people over, because April and I, when we were younger people, used to enjoy this band very much. And
well, how old are you now?
I'm 35.
All right, so you were just leaving your teens when they were big.
That's correct.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Mr. Bozell about what happened last night. So continue your story. So the show was terrible. You went to sleep. You say you cried yourself to sleep.
Yes, sir.
And then when you got up in the morning, you called your attorney.
I called my attorney. We are preparing briefs against Axl Rose, MTV, and Carson Daly. Because like I say, if something at MTV stinks and stinks really bad, you always know that Carson Daly's got to be someplace around, because he never, that's just what I felt, and that may be prejudice on my part.
I think that's unfair to blame Mr. Daly. He wasn't anywhere around that thing.
You know full well that he had his thumb shoved someplace. Now, I have no idea what kind of future damage this is going to do to my son of mine's relationship. I have never been violent with my kids, but I did come downstairs this morning for breakfast. My son looked from his cereal, and all I heard was this snicker. And that's when I said, all bets are off. My wife, April, knew. She closed all the blinds in the house. She and the girl went out to school and left me to take care of business for the boy. I got a leather belt out of a pair of business slacks. I went to work on the boy around 9 a.m., and we finished up probably around 9:20. I have never done that before, but I wanted the boy to know how much he had humiliated me. But in the midst of winter, I found within me an invincible summer.
You beat your kid with a leather strap?
That is correct. MTV and that piss-poor performance by Axl Rose caused me to raise my hand to my own son for the first time in my life. I will never forget that.
Let's listen one more time.
This is not how they sounded back in 87. When I seen them at Kemp Arena, I seen them at Murfreesboro Bowl right after Appetite for Destruction come out. They were so good. They were so good. Now, oh, Jesus. Sounds like he's pitching a loaf.
All right, I got you. Okay. So that is what you're complaining about, sir?
Well, it's not a complaint, Mr. Henry. It's the fact that I was humiliated in front of my son by that fat, drunk, forgive my language, sir, a fat, drunk turd.
All of this because Guns N' Roses sounded bad last night.
Guns N' Roses and MTV led me to believe that they were going to be good. Carson Daly, all of them, lied, and I'm trying to get my son's respect back.
Well, you lost your son's respect, okay? I mean,
well, you know, some smart-ass father in my boy's school took Steve Jr. and this guy's son to see some cool band. Now, I forget who. I think it's this Linkin Park band.
Okay, I know who they are.
Now this smart-ass bought him dinner before the concert, and then this smart-ass buys him concert T-shirts. My son tells me that the dad knew all the songs, so I wanted to show Steve Jr. that I knew tunes, too. But this smart-ass who's the father of this other boy takes him to see Linkin Park. I take him to see Guns N' Roses on the TV, and they suck so bad, it just sucks.
All right, sir, hold the line. 1-800-449-8686. It's an interesting thing what television does to families. We've heard the commentary they could possibly rip a family apart. This man is suing Guns N' Roses, Axl Rose, Carson Daly, and MTV for the fact that Axl Rose last night on MTV sucked so bad. He embarrassed Mr. Bozell in front of his son. He had told his son he was going to see a good band, and they came out and they stunk. Also, he says he lost his son's respect when another father on the street, who he calls some smartass, took his son and another boy to see Linkin Park, and that it was a fun experience because they bought T-shirts and a lot of other things. I don't know. Do you think that this man may have a case? Is it possible to sit down with an expectation of a good show and it's so rotten that your own son blames you for it? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Mr. Bozell, where are you right now?
I'm standing out on top of just a cliff that overlooks a ravine we got behind our home, but I guess I just want to come out here and feel the wind.
You're feeling that bad about Axl Rose's performance last night. It was so lousy.
Well, it is so much Axl Rose's performance, but the boy laughed at me. My son laughed at me and said, Eminem makes this old guy look like some fat, old, dried-up old Mick Jagger dude. And I said, Axl Rose, Guns N' Roses, better than Eminem, over hope to be. And my son laughed.
And then you hit the kid with a leather strap.
I started about 9 o'clock, and I think we wrapped up about 9:15. Yes, sir.
And now what are you doing?
I don't know.
Well, what does that mean, you don't know?
I just want to feel the wind on my face, that's all.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me go over here to Jenna. Jenna, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I just had a comment for him. First of all, with the music, your son is entitled to his own opinion on the music. My father likes country music, and I don't. And I don't make fun of him. I don't.
You don't make fun. There you go. You don't make fun.
But you're saying your son laughed at you, but he wasn't making fun of you.
How do you know he's not making fun? Look, I came downstairs, and it's for breakfast, and my son looks up at me from his cereal bowl and goes like that. Now, you know what that is.
He snickered.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It's
children
okay.
Can be children. Children can be
what
children like that.
Well, what he won. Eminem's better because Axl Rose came out last night and squealed like some cat with a firecracker up its ass.
let's face it, a lot of these older bands don't have it anymore. They're getting older.
Okay.
It's okay.
That's okay?
It's okay if they're getting older. It's okay.
Not okay, because I stood there with a do-rag, snakeskin pants, a cut-off T-shirt, the cowboy boots. I'm pumping a Bic lighter in the air. I'm trying to recapture the youth of the time when I was young. And all of a sudden, my kid's going, this old guy looks like Keith Richards' daddy.
That's fine. You can't expect your son to like him. I'm sure your parents didn't approve of.
Wait a minute.
Axl Rose.
Mr. Bozell, we can't do this.
I just need a moment.
All right, Jenna, go ahead with your comment while he gets himself together.
I think that he needs to talk to somebody about this that's professional, because he's having a very hard time with this.
Yeah.
My
daughter, April Jr., held up a Bic lighter I had to light for Guns N' Roses. She said, Daddy made us smelly. Now, I had held the Bic lighter up for Guns N' Roses, and she lit the Bic lighter because she said, Daddy made us stinky.
You have no right to beat your son because he didn't like your music.
The boy don't laugh at me. That's one thing the boy don't do.
Oh,
that's
come
fine.
On.
That's what, a different
what
issue,
is this?
But
this
you shouldn't have beat him for
is
it.
Is this an episode of Wyatt Earp? What do you mean that's one thing the boy don't do?
You know, you can make fun of the fact that I come from the South. That's fine, Mr. Henry. But my children will show me respect.
When you make fun, you laugh.
How could your son show you respect when you cry yourself to sleep?
Because he didn't like his music.
All right, thank you, Jenna. 1-800-449-8686. Chrissy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Okay, I have a comment. First of all, I'm appalled that this man would beat his child over music. I think what the issue, I agree with the last...
I didn't beat him.
He needs help. It has nothing to do with the music. If he can't stand that a small child laughs at him, I fear for him any obstacles or anything that's going to be in his life, anything dramatic, if he can't even handle a small child laughing at him.
Could I ask you, Mr. Henry, you have that part of the song where Axl Rose completely comes apart, don't you?
Where he comes apart?
He completely comes apart.
I have that one little moment.
If I could play that for Chrissy so she could hear how this man humiliated me.
Well, this is all that it is, Chrissy. It's... Did you hear that?
Okay, he completely comes apart like some squealing jailhouse bitch going...
You know what? Let me finish. It has nothing to do with the music. Sir, I really think you need help. If you're going to beat a child over your music, then you need help. All children laugh, and, you know, thank God you're not into the teaching profession. All children laugh. All children will be snotty. Any parent that beats their child because they laugh and not the music has more issues and more problems out there than over this.
Let me ask you this. You think I got issues? That boy now knows the words to Welcome to the Jungle.
Oh, and you're
because
and,
every,
and that makes you a proud parent. Okay.
Because every
well,
because
know,
every
I
time I brought that
gonna...
strap down, every time I brought that strap down, I said, "Now you know the words, don't you?"
You
Welcome
like
to
you
the
like
jungle.
Being in charge. I can tell this by this phone call. You like being in charge, and obviously a man,
ma'am,
that,
no.
a 35-year-old man that can feel power by taking a leather strap to a child because he does not like it, and quote, and the wife and any wife that would close the blinds and allow a child to be beaten. Knowingly this, oh my goodness, I feel sorry for you. It has nothing to do with the music, and even if music was that upsetting, don't listen to it. You have a lot
listen to this man. This sounds like a grown man being penetrated.
You need to seek help.
I need help.
You cry over music.
My son needs help.
Go from that. Yeah, you do. You really do.
Yeah, my son needs help with all the lyrics of the other songs on Appetite for Destruction.
It doesn't matter. There's music I used to like 10 years ago. I'm your age. I don't like them now. We outgrow it. It has nothing to do with the music.
Jimmy,
I'm not
going
to go and beat anybody and get upset because the people that I used to like, I don't like anymore.
Jimmy D. John's father made a fool out of me. Well, then how come Jimmy D. John's father gets to take them to see Linkin Park and he knows all the lyrics?
It sounds like you have an insecurity issue. You are jealous because a man did something for his father. You know what? It could have been just as a nice experience for you as it was for him. I'm sorry you didn't have that great of an experience, but personally, if I was your child, I don't think
I could ever have a great experience with you.
Well,
if you're
going to
beat me because I don't agree with you, then I would never have fun. Maybe the issue with the other parent wasn't so much the music genre as much as it was they like being together. Maybe the parent is a decent parent. Why don't you try loving your child and giving him the freedom to make choices instead of trying to take control and beat your child when he doesn't agree with you?
Ma'am, I will tell you this. You may not like it, but because I took the strap to my boy, he now knows the words to, well, you know, let's go down to the Paradise City.
You know what?
Oh,
you know
so
what that's
you
called? It's called brainwashing.
Yeah, so
it's also called abuse.
You beat him
and
thank
God I don't live in your city, because if I did live in your city, I would. Oh, your son needs to be taken away from
take
you.
Take me down
you
to the Paradise City where the grass is green and the girls are pretty. Oh, won't you take me down?
You're mentally and physically abusing your child.
That's right.
And I hope that you're happy
you,
for
Chrissy.
That.
Have you ever had a Louisville slugger bashed into your manhood? Well, that's what Axl Rose did to me last night.
All right, 1-800-449.
Honey, your thing was over with a
bashed in already,
time ago.
Yeah. 1-800-449-8686. A man takes a strap to his son because the kid laughed at Axl Rose on TV last night and said, "That band was pretty lame, Dad." Stephen Bozell is considering suing MTV, Carson Daly, and Axl Rose. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Are you still on top of that mountain, Steve? Steve, you still there?
Yep, I am.
Why are you standing on top of this cliff?
Let me tell you something. Guns N' Roses is my favorite band.
I know that. Why are you standing on the cliff?
Because the boy laughed at me, and because they all said Guns N' Roses is lame. Let me tell you something. I can get back at my boy for making me look like a fool because I told him Guns N' Roses was the best band and Axl Rose let me down. I'm going to make fun of him for his entire soccer season. So that when every time he goes on a field and every time he misses a ball, I'm going to laugh. I'm going to point and laugh and go, "Ha, look at that, you missed the ball. Okay, now how do you feel feeling like an idiot? Just the same way you made me feel when you laughed at Axl Rose that time he was on the TV. Because I always pull back on the words. Welcome to the jungle. We got fun and games. We got everything you want. Honey, we know the names, okay? So I can play the games. You got the time. I got the whistle."
All right, let me go over here to Jim. Go ahead, Jim. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello?
Jim, yeah, Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Steve?
Yes, sir.
Do you think he was laughing at you because of the music, or is it because he's laughing at you because you're a 35-year-old man wearing snakeskin shoes, a do-rag, and boots?
What's so funny about that?
Well, yesterday, when the show was going on, I was at a Cinderella concert, right?
Okay.
So I'm a Guns N' Roses fan, just like you and everything. Now, Cinderella wasn't at their peak or nothing, but, hey, that's the way it goes. Now, my dad
Cinderella, that's sad, because that's like five gay blades going out there with big hair.
Oh, so if my son was a Cinderella fan, I should take 20 minutes out and beat the crap out of him?
Why would you do that?
Exactly. Why?
Wait a second. If your son was a Cinderella fan, you're also a Cinderella fan, then you two guys could go to the concert together. Why would you beat him up?
First of all, I don't have a son. You beat your son because he likes Eminem.
He made fun of Axl Rose, called him a...
He made fun of you.
He said he looked like...
Because you were wearing snakeskin leather boots and a do-rag at 35 years of age. Now, you think you could sue Guns N' Roses because Axl Rose gained some weight? How much do you weigh?
Axl
and how much did you weigh 10 years ago?
Axl Rose looks like he's got a butt for a face. That's how much Botox
did
he's got.
Did you gain weight in the last 10 years?
I put on a couple pounds, but I've always tried to be trim.
Okay,
my
so you feel it's right somebody should sue you for gaining some weight?
What did I do to them? I didn't make them look like a fool. Axl
what did
Rose
they do to
down.
You? Did they say, "Hey, we're going to go out and make Steve look like a fool"?
Yeah.
Or did they say, "Hey, we're going
to
go out and try to put on the best show we can"?
Okay, listen
on
to
TV.
This.
Did Axl Rose go out on TV and say, "Hey, I'm going to go out and make an ass of myself to make Steve look bad"?
He should have done more to make himself not have a butt for a face.
And you're right, saying that you're looking good.
That's really, yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's a good point, Jim.
I'm not saying I'm... Just listen to this.
I don't want to hear that crap anymore. We've heard it a million times.
Well, listen to this part. Oh, okay. Don't he sound like somebody's jailhouse boy?
Wait.
Check it out.
You don't look the same way you did 10 years ago. Axl Rose don't look the same way he did 10 years ago. Skinner don't look the way they did 10 years ago. Now, my dad was a Skinner fan. Now, and I'm a Skinner fan now too. But if my dad would have took me to the barn and said, "You will listen to every Skinner song and beat the crap out of me," I'd hate them.
Wait a second, my boy now knows the words to Paradise City and Welcome to the Jungle.
Paradise City, a song about rape.
What? What is?
The whole album is.
Okay.
If you open up, rape. Hey, I'm not cutting down Guns N' Roses because that's what I. But,
sounds like he's getting raped. Right in that section of the song. Do you know it took me 45 minutes to draw the Guns N' Roses tattoo so that I looked the part for the show? And when they sucked, my tears made the ink run all over the carpet, and I can't think of anything more poetic than that.
I think that you had 45 minutes. And you know, wait a minute. You said earlier that you own your own construction site?
Yes, sir.
You don't own crap because you don't sound like a man of intelligence to own anything. First of all, I'm an electrician.
Okay.
I work with construction.
I hire electricians all the time. I got plenty of subs who are electricians.
Man, if I was a sub for you, I would laugh at you too. I would laugh at you too because you're a pathetic man at 35 years old, trying to relive his youth, and then you can't let your own son live his youth. My daughter, I got a 13-year-old daughter. She's got NSYNC posters all over her room. Do I get her out and listen to it? No. Do I give her the right to listen to what she wants to listen to?
Yes, that's what
my parents did for me.
Okay, this guy has now made me want to jump.
Jump from where?
Where I'm standing.
Oh, please do it. Please do it.
Wait a minute, Jim.
All right, okay, great. Okay, I'll do it. I'll jump.
Jump right now.
Yeah, you want me to jump?
And say, hey, dedicate it to me.
Okay. You, Jim, and Denver made me want to jump. Leave my wife and my son and my daughter an orphan.
Hey, wait.
Because
at least I wouldn't beat my son. Maybe your son would be better off.
Because, okay, that's all.
Okay, hold on for a minute, Steve.
Another Steve. Band out of our era?
Hold on, Steve.
Van Halen?
Hold on.
Yeah.
Might as well jump. Hey, go ahead and jump.
I'm back.
Oh, you're back, huh?
Well, I didn't say it was a cliff.
Well, what are you standing on?
It's a dirt pile in my backyard.
Oh, my God. You are
what
a coward.
Idiot.
You know that?
I'm a coward.
Yeah, you're a coward.
Oh, and this guy don't sound like a coward? Yeah. Just like in the video of November Rain when Axl and Slash jumped off a cliff during the guitar solo.
Oh.
That's what I was going to do.
Oh, but where's Slash now?
All right.
He carried on.
Jim, you're doing a good job. I appreciate that. Yeah, Slash is looking good.
Slash looks like a turd.
And another band that did great after them, L.A. Guns, Tracy Guns, did great with that action,
L.A.
too.
Guns, those
did he
guys,
do them?
They all look like they belong, you know, lifting cases at a liquor store.
But I bet none of them
took their kids in the woods dead for 20 minutes.
All right.
My wife's calling me for dinner. I got to go.
All right, listen, thanks, Jim, for your call.
Thanks.
All right, very good point that you're making. Is that your wife calling you?
Yeah, I'll be there in a minute. She did. What? I'll beat the boy harder. You tell him to get the words. Welcome to the jungle. We got what you need. Yeah, that's right.
You're still beating the child, huh?
Hey, is the Pope crap in the woods? You bet.
Does the Pope crap in the woods? You bet. Okay, man. There you go, Steve. Teach that boy those lyrics. Oh, God. Steve Bozell is going to sue. He's suing Carson Daly because wherever something stinks at MTV, Carson Daly is going around it someplace. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
RC, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Wait a minute. RC, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
You were talking about Axl Rose and how much he blew.
What do you mean, how much he blew?
Well,
There was a band that did way, way better last night, and that was Pink.
I don't have any of her stuff.
I've got it right here. Listen.
What the hell is this?
This is Pink, man.
Get that out of here.
You blewed.
Yeah, I blewed, kid. That's pretty good. That's good. That, actually, we're just joking. RC is just kidding around. That's the band I hired to do my party tomorrow night. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. That's solid. Okay. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. I haven't told you enough during the show today about the Vegas trip. I'd like you to join me for the first ever Phil Henry Show live at the Luxor in Las Vegas party September 27th to the 29th. The weekend will kick off on Friday at the Luxor's amazing Raw Nightclub with Henry's Happy Hour and a live broadcast. Then on Saturday night, you'll join me back at the Raw Nightclub for the exclusive Blues and Brews party, where you'll hang with me and be entertained by a live blues band. The package is based on double occupancy. It also includes Friday and Saturday night lodging for two at the Luxor, two passes to the Oasis Spa, two tickets to the King Tut Museum, free admission into the Raw Nightclub after our parties conclude, so you can hang out and stay in the nightclub, and everyone attending is going to receive a special gift from me. The package is worth over $500, but for you it's only $348 based on double occupancy. In order to assure your place with me at the Luxor in Las Vegas, call the Luxor Las Vegas reservation line right away at 1-800-288-1000, 1-800-288-1000, and ask for the Phil Henry package. Additional nights at a standard rack rate are available for purchase before or after the event. You must be 21 years of age to book this package and participate in the events at the Raw. It's going to be a rockin' party September 27th through the 29th at the Luxor in Las Vegas. This is a VIP party, by the way, and there isn't going to be any ticket at the door. So you have to, you know, you have to have a ticket before you get in. The only way to get in on one of these exclusive packages is to call 1-800. Somebody took our microphone? 1-800-288-1000. I wanted the microphone so you could hear my guy. Chris is here today. Somebody took the microphone. Somebody took the Britney Spears CD. Okay, I am now putting out the word. I realize that we may be low show on the totem pole around here, but let me just explain. You don't come into the studio and steal our microphones. I thought we had a memo that said when you come in here, you have to leave things. Do you know what the microphone looks like? You'll find it. Chris Craig's now going to go and beat the living tar out of the individual that took the microphone out of this studio. I am shocked. I'd like to bring on now my agent, Chris Cohen. Chris represents me in a variety of things. He represents me in the television business right now. As you know, we've signed a deal with NBC to create a pilot, and there have been a couple of pilots announced, one on Fox, one on CBS. They're bringing back Beverly Hillbillies, but it'll be a reality series, which means they're going to put rich people into a hillbilly situation. And then Fox is bringing back Green Acres. And Chris, how does this all play in my career?
Well, Phil, you see, in your career, what you need to do here at NBC is make people laugh, because NBC isn't the greatest network of all time.
All right, thanks for joining us. Thanks a lot, you little putz. Because seriously, this is my son Chris, and that's great, Chris. NBC's not the greatest network of that. They just signed a deal with these guys. You just screwed my deal up with them, man.
I'm sorry. I'm very
all right,
sorry.
All right, so we're gonna go to New York in a week and a few days, and you're having a birthday on September the 8th, and you're gonna be in New York for your birthday.
That's gonna be bitching.
So, are you going to what do you want to see in New York?
Well, Mom said she's gonna take us to Mamma Mia the musical.
Oh, that's cool, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be cool. And, I'm going to be at Ground Zero for the September 11th stuff.
Yes, we will be. On September the 11th, we'll be down there.
And which happens to be my brother's birthday.
Now, your birthday is on the 8th, the Sunday that we're in New York, and then Alex's birthday is on the 11th. But he and Nick are going to stay here and do what?
Well, they have football, and they want to stick to their commitment of Oak Christian football.
Now, the USS Intrepid is in New York Harbor. What do you think of that, Chris?
I'll go on that. That'd be cool.
What is it?
It's a boat thing.
It's a boat thing? Okay. How about the air and space? You should, like, Mr. Taylor, you two guys should hang out, because Mr. Taylor goes everywhere. He goes to the Statue of Liberty. He went to the Rockefeller music thing. He went over to the Rockefeller radio thing. Radio City Music Hall, the Rockefeller Center. Then where else you go? You went to the, did you go to Staten Island? You went to the what? The Empire State Building? Did you ever see King Kong?
Yeah, I saw the original.
Yeah, the ape crawls up the Empire State Building. Yeah. So.
No, wait, I thought that was the Chrysler Building.
No, that was the Empire State Building that the ape crawls up.
I always get that confused.
Yeah. All right, so then what are you going to do?
Well, I believe that we've made some reservations at some pretty sweet restaurants.
Well, we found a couple of Italian restaurants, one in Brooklyn and one in Greenwich Village, because what do you want for your birthday? You want what?
Pizza.
Pizza.
Lots of pizza.
Yeah? You don't want good Italian cooking, you just want pizza.
Well, New York is known for its pizza for kids.
You know, here's the funny thing. When I first met this guy, he was about 7, and he thought McDonald's Quarter Pounder or Big Mac was the greatest burger on God's earth.
It's the best thing that's happened since water.
Yeah, and then I took him to In-N-Out, and now he knows what a real burger tastes like.
Yes.
Now, what else have I done for you? I've done so many things for you I can't even count. I've turned you onto so much stuff. I can't even begin to count the ways
what?
That you owe me, dude. That's a serious
no
thing. And what else did I turn you onto?
Chinese
food?
Yeah, that's true.
Chinese food?
I always hated Chinese, and then Phil here was like, Chinese food is good. I said, no. He said, yes, maybe eat some Chinese
food. I made
food.
Him eat it. And then one time I paid him $5 if he'd eat a Brussels sprout. You remember that?
No. Oh, yeah, it was a good time.
Was
good
it ten time. Bucks or what?
I think it was $100.
No, don't do shtick. How much was it?
It was $5, $10, somewhere around there.
I said, Chris, I'll pay you $5 if you'll eat a Brussels sprout. And you should have seen the look on his face. You'd have thought he had to wash some tramp. You know,
it's nasty.
Now you eat Brussels sprouts.
I think everybody will agree with me. It is nasty.
Chris will do it for 50 cents. Chris Pelton.
Well, yeah, but you know, when you grow up, your taste buds go away. So, yeah, you can't taste
they
them.
They go away?
They go away.
Oh, okay. So this is why I like Brussels sprouts, because my nerve endings are dying.
It's true.
And I can't taste the Brussels sprouts taste like
hearing,
butt.
Goes along with your hearing and your radio voice.
So, in other words, Brussels sprouts taste like someone's butt. Oh, I don't know it, though, because my taste buds are gone.
That's correct, Bill.
Yeah, just say butt to any kid and you'll get a laugh. Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
This is great. When you deal with a kid,
you can't do that.
You know, I would love to do a stand-up comedy for a kid's club, and all you have to say is, but. Here's one. Hey, Chris. Have you ever had, like, McDonald's Big Macs? They taste like butt.
It's true.
I just said it's true.
You can't do that. When
you know why I don't like Captain Crunch peanut butter flavor, the one that you like?
You eat it every day.
You know why I don't like it? Because it tastes like someone's butt.
That's not true.
Just that's
you can't
how you
do
have
that
to
when
do
I punch you. When I punch you, I'll do that.
All right, you're getting a little big-headed here. You're getting a little precocious. That's why you can't be on my TV show. If there's one thing I hate, it's precocious kids. I'll feed them into the meat grinder of history. I don't like them. All right, pal. All right, we're going to go home.
All right.
1-800-449-8686. We're going to go home in a while. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. Why? Because we have the backstage pass for $6.95 a month. All you got to do is for $6.95 a month, all you got to do is log on, and you get access to our audio archives, our listen live line, our 30-day archives. We have a souvenir shop. It's an all-inclusive kind of a thing, man. $6.95 a month, or for 6 months or 12 months, you get a significant discount. Go to the Phil Henry Show website, philhenryshow.com. And also, if you're curious, take a look at our wall of female listeners. We've only got 34 women that listen to the show, but we have pictures of all of them right there in our wall of female listeners. And check out Phil's diary and some other fun things. Plus, we've got the Phil Henry Show Theater, which you ought to look at. That's the Phil Henry Show website.